Welcome to the NOLA Drinks Show. Join us as we explore the world of drink and food in New Orleans and beyond. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody. Hey, welcome to the program. Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for tuning in to the NOLA Drinks Show, friends, this week. As always, I most certainly appreciate it. If you're listening here on the radio or on the podcast of the United States, happy almost 4th of July. Yep, coming up here on Thursday. Pretty excited about that. Hope everyone has a, as they say, safe and sane holiday here in the New Orleans area. I know going to be a lot of Dewey checkpoints and things like that out there. So, be smart, be sensible. If you're going somewhere, walk, take an Uber, that kind of thing. So enjoy our Independence Day here safely and thoughtfully, and hope everyone has a good one. There you go. Got a great show coming up for you here today. Really fascinating stuff, a lot of fun. We go out to the historic Bayou Road area, which is located in the 7th Ward in New Orleans. Very, very vibrant neighborhood that has recently undergone some economic revitalization, largely at the hands of the local residents and business owners, as well as support from the city. Our good friends at New Orleans Tourism and Marketing Corporation, New Orleans Company, things like that, have also lent a hand to everyone. But it is largely a street with a great historical story that we talk about. And it was originally inhabited by free people of color who lived there, operated businesses there. And today we see a very, as I use the word, vibrant corridor of African-American owned businesses that really are standard bearers in many ways for the culture of the city. Now, we're going to be doing this on a somewhat regular basis with our friends at New Orleans Tourism and Marketing Corporation and New Orleans and Company, kind of highlighting certain neighborhoods, as I jokingly say, not called the French Quarter, found around town, especially if you're, maybe if you are here, if you've recently moved here, or if you're coming here to visit, these are areas that you should really go explore, because so much of the actual culture, that's why you come here, maybe why you moved here, what we enjoy as residents here, enjoy living here, this is where it comes from. It comes from these different neighborhoods. Now, certainly, you know, there's a lot of culture in the French Quarter, don't get me wrong, but a lot of the music, so much of the cuisine, a lot of the folks that work in hospitality and service that we all enjoy in the French Quarter live in these neighborhoods. And it's really a driving force economically, culturally for the city. So we want to be sure that we're highlighting some of these neighborhoods that have some really great stuff going on, not only for residents, but for visitors alike. And Bayou Road is no exception. We head over to Whiskey and Sticks, which is a cool bar that emphasizes a great whiskey program, as well as, you know, sticks. There you go, cigars. And we talk with Kelder Summers, who is the co-proprietor there, along with her husband. And we are also joined by Mark Laws. And Mark is the proprietor just two doors up from Whiskey and Sticks of Half Shell on the Bayou. Super awesome oyster place. Features a great New Orleans menu. Really cool outdoor sitting area in the back. And then also Beverly McKenna, who is the publisher of the New Orleans Tribune and also the operator of the McKenna Museum of African American Art, which is located uptown. Beverly was really the driving force, from what I understand, in most ways of this effort to revitalize Bayou Road. So really interesting stuff. And be on the lookout, friends, as I said, for more from that series. Next week's show, yep, we're back at our French Quarter Fest series celebrating Summerfest 2019. We're at Louisiana Music Factory, and we are going to talk to the fantastic singer, Tanya Boyd Cannon, as well as the leader of the Big Six Brass Band, a spectacular, fantastic, relatively new brass band, the band leader, Lamar Hurd. And we're going to be celebrating and talking about their music. We talk about food and culture, as we always do, with our guests in the French Quarter Fest series. And of course, we're going to talk about Satchmo Summerfest coming up August 2nd through the 4th. Right there at the New Orleans Jazz Museum, the building formerly known as the Mint. So be on the lookout for next week's show. And then also wanted to mention, pretty soon we're going to be launching into Tales of the Cocktail coming, I believe starts on July 15th, thereabouts. So we're going to be taping, the plan anyway, is to tape a whole bunch of shows based on some of their seminars. So it's going to be very topic-driven conversation. I'm really, really excited about it. A lot of these things are sort of crystallizing now as we speak. But certainly be on the lookout for that in the coming weeks, because we're going to have all kinds of folks visiting us from the spirits and bars bartending world. They descend on New Orleans every year. We've talked a lot about Tales of the Cocktail. You all know about that. But we're taking advantage of it with all this talent, all these great guests that are going to be in town for Tales. And so we're going to be putting some shows together built around that. So that's going to be a lot of fun as we kind of try and stay cool here during the summer. Always a challenge here in New Orleans. It's hot. It's the way it is. It's the summer. And yeah, for sure. So that's going to be some of the programming to look up, look forward to. And what we're going to do here, friends, is we're going to take a little bit of a break on the NOLA Drink Show. And then we're going to bounce over to Whiskey and Sticks on Bayou Road and the 7th Ward. And we're going to talk about what's happening there, something that you need to check out. Taking a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show, friends. Come on back.
I ain't got nothing in my pocket. I got holes in both of my shoes. Ain't got nothing in my pocket, but if I did, I'd give half to you.
Welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Thanks for listening into the show, friends, this week, as always. Yeah, we are here on Bayou Road at Whiskey and Sticks. A very cool place, about to celebrate their first anniversary. We'll get into that in a second. But I've got two fantastic guests here joining me. First off, the proprietor of Whiskey and Sticks, Kelder Summers. Kelder, how are you?
I'm great. Hello, and thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us. We're in your place. So
exciting.
Thank you.
Yes, this is exciting.
Thank you very much. And Mark Laws, who's the proprietor of the Half Shell on the Bayou. Mark, how are you?
I'm fine. Good evening. How's everybody out there?
Yeah, man, I can't speak for them. I'm doing great, though, so I appreciate it. You doing good?
Oh, absolutely.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, so we're here on Bayou Road, y'all, and it's a really interesting neighborhood, a very vibrant neighborhood. Let's start here, Kelder. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about what's going on here. There's all kinds of new businesses taking place, and let's start with the history. It's got a fascinating history.
Yeah, well, the street, Bayou Road, first of all, is probably the oldest. If it isn't, is it the oldest street, Mark? It is.
It's the oldest street in New Orleans.
In New Orleans, and it's responsible basically for the city of New Orleans, because folks would get off their boats in the bayou, correct?
Yeah.
And then they would have to walk along Bayou Road to get down to the river. And, of course, this is we're on a ridge, so it's above sea, well, not above sea level, but it's on a ridge.
High point in New Orleans.
Right. So people were able to walk from the bayou to the river. And of course, along this stretch, there were businesses and things like that. So this is wonderful to have a kind of a resurgence of these businesses along the street, you know, that kind of mimics what it was back in the day.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So Mark, you were just pointing at something.
So across the street from where we're sitting is a trading post. It was one of the original Indian trading posts in New Orleans. So that's one of the ideas that the McKenna's brought back to do commerce in this area. So I was just pointing out that it was right across the street from us.
Okay, gotcha.
It's one of the oldest, I think, if not the oldest, trading post still in New Orleans, the building.
Okay. Now, Mark, you own a Half Shell on the Bayou. How long have you been open?
Well, I opened in 2014, but I actually opened on Esplanade Avenue.
Okay.
It was just a dream I had after my retirement from law enforcement. I wanted to open up a restaurant, and I saw a vacant building on Esplanade Avenue. But after being there so long and with high rent, very, very high rent, I met the people that's responsible for this project, and they coaxed me. Actually, they drug me down here on Bayou Road and made me an anchor store for the project.
So what law enforcement were you involved in
before? Sheriff's Department.
In the Sheriff's Department,
yes,
okay.
Sir.
And did you grow up in the oyster business or have family in the oyster business or what?
Well, everybody in New Orleans is a chef. So first of all, everybody in New Orleans could cook. It was just a dream, and staying in the kitchen with my family. I actually cooked in the military.
Okay.
My first cooking experience was in the Air Force, United States Air Force.
Gotcha. Okay. Kelder, what about you here at Whiskey and Sticks?
What's the question?
Well, just, you know, you're telling me that you're about to celebrate your first anniversary.
Yay!
But you guys focus on whiskey and sticks, meaning cigars.
Correct. The stick portion is the cigars. Primarily, we are a whiskey store, and we do have a great selection of whiskeys and a great selection of bourbons, scotches. We have a small selection of some of the, you know, the white liquors, the gins and things
clear
like
spirits.
That.
Clear spirits. Gotta have
clear spirits.
Right?
Correct. Yeah. You know, it's either brown or white. That's how we,
yeah, right, exactly.
we refer to it. But what happens is our selection does rotate. So you may come in one week and try like an Uncle Nearest, which is one of our featured brands. And then next week we may have on there maybe a Japanese whiskey like we got the Akushku right now on the back bar right now.
Okay.
So we've got a lot of great things going on with the whiskeys. And then we complement that with our cigar selection. It's a very limited selection, but we offer a wide variety of cigars. And now we are partnering with Mayan Imports, which is a local company, to help us get the cigars in and to restock them. So it's really going really well with the cigars. And we find that, you know, people like to come in and have a good cigar and a nice little bourbon, sit out in the patio and enjoy that.
Yeah, so we were talking a little bit about how okay, there we go. See, we're letting people in because they're open for
that's
business here at Whiskey
that's
and Sticks.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Awesome.
Lucky enough to get Miss B down here.
Yeah, there we go.
Talked her into it.
There you
Yay.
Go. Well, hey, let's take a brief little pause here for 1 second. We're going to get Beverly in here.
All right.
All right, everybody. Well, the conversation continues. We're bouncing right back in here, and we've been joined by Beverly McKenna, who is a journalist, operates a museum, a publisher here in town. And Beverly, welcome to the show. Thanks for making it over.
Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. Well, we were talking a little bit, y'all, before we took a pause to get Beverly set up with the microphone, talking a little bit about the history here of Bayou Road. And Kelder mentioned that it's the oldest street in New Orleans and was a corridor for people to walk from the bayou, from the boats to the river.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't get much further than that. Could you maybe elaborate a little further?
Oh, certainly. This, again, is you to repeat what you've said, it is said to be the oldest street in the city, 3.5 miles long. It connects Mississippi River to Bayou St. John, and it was a portage where Native Americans traveled carrying goods and services. So it's been here forever. The area itself has been settled by, and one reason, again, that I think it's such a significant area is that it was settled going back 300 years, Native Americans, mm-hmm. Afro-Cubans, Afro-Caribbeans, Africans, Europeans as well. So this has been a very diverse neighborhood since the beginning, and we've been here. We've been here, and it has great cultural
importance. Mm-hmm. And Mark mentioned a little bit too, Beverly, that you know, because of the nature of it being a corridor for people coming from the bayou to the river, and Kelder mentioned this, that it's always been a business corridor, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, I was drawn to it again, knowing that people of color have owned large tracts of land here. So again, you know, it gives you a good feeling knowing I belong here because of the history, because of the way we have often been marginalized or dismissed. You know, we are here. We've been here. My husband's parents and family have lived in this area right directly in back of us, the 7th Ward.
Okay, yeah.
Going back 200 years, you know. So it's not like us coming into a neighborhood, desegregating it, you know, coming up. We are here. We've been here. We have an important presence here. We've contributed to everything that makes the area, that makes the city what it is, mm-hmm. from the architecture, the food, the dancing, the music, you know, all rooted in African culture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mark, what attracted, where did you grow up in town? Where
I actually grew up in the 7th Ward,
okay.
which is the same area. I went to school
yep.
at $1.15 and Joseph A. Craig, which 15 is in the French Quarters, and Joseph A. Craig was in the 7th Ward. So, but yeah, my family grew up in the 7th Ward, and my family were involved in pharmaceuticals. My grandmother was never officially a pharmacist, but she worked for pharmacists right at Orleans and Basins, and another one on AP 2 Road and Hope Street, for 96 years of her life. She died working behind the counter. She was never official, but she could give out a prescription and she could heal. She could heal the steak.
Right. Yeah. That's practical knowledge. That's way better than a piece of paper. Anyway.
Right. And then she was a hell of a cook. So.
Right. So, and Kelder, what about you then? Where did you
grew up in
then?
The 7th Ward, you actually. Just, okay. Not too far from here. Our family home is on Derby Place, which is literally, I could walk there from here. So I grew up there. Went to school, though, at Uptown McMain High School and Xavier University.
Did y'all know each other at all? Or
I know some McKennas, but okay. No. And I just met Mark officially. I knew of him. Met him last year when we started coming around. He's been very instrumental in helping us get off the ground with our new business since we're the babies of the block.
Okay, got it. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit. We got a couple minutes, y'all, before we take a little break here. But let's talk about, and any of you feel free to jump in, what is kind of happening here? What is going on? There's been an initiative to spur economic development, I think, in the neighborhood. And is that fair to say?
Mm-hmm. Very fair.
Yeah,
very fair.
I think that's fair. I think you've hit it on the head. My newspaper office is right around the corner. We have a museum right around the corner.
And tell people really quick what the paper and the museum is.
The New Orleans Tribune. Mm-hmm. McKenna Publishing publishes the New Orleans Tribune. We've been publishing for 35 years now. That office is around the corner, and it's been around the corner. We also own and operate and conceived the idea for a museum dedicated to the story that tells the accomplishments, the achievements, the contributions of free people of color, which was just one little free people of color, simply meaning people of African descent who were free before the Civil War. Mm-hmm. This is just one little portion of black history that hadn't been told, hadn't been touched. And so my husband and I have been collecting, I say, since we were children, 40 years since we were newlyweds. And so we've decided to bring our collection out to share. That's right around the corner.
Okay.
In the meantime, you know, we drive up and down Bayou Road, coming and going to our home, our museum, our place of business. And this street was very run down. It was down on its ears, you know, appliances out on the sidewalk, people really selling drugs out of, you know, it was what it was. And I always thought it was such a shame, and I wanted to do something. And there were people here in the neighborhood who were moving in, consciously, deliberately trying to move the African-American people out. And my sister and I at the time, you know, we just said, no, this couldn't happen. There's a black nightclub right there, black-owned Club Caribbean. Black people have owned and operated that for 60 years. So we decided, no, this is not, can't go down this way.
Beverly, sorry, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. So do we mean sort of that typical gentrification process where people are moving in and property values get jacked?
Absolutely,
and
absolutely. Okay. It was so conscious and so, mm-hmm. so...
outright.
Yeah, it was just, you know, out in your face. And that's what we said. We can't let this happen. There's nothing, I mean, a person, you know, drunk person doing a lot of drinking, white person is no less offensive than a black person who's had a couple drinks. But this club up here wasn't that. It wasn't shoot 'em up, bang, bang, nothing like that, just a neighborhood bar. Mm-hmm. You know, but it became very problematic for a lot of the people. And we said, no, this is a corridor, a commercial corridor. It had been, you know, a cultural center for people of color going back 200-300 years. Mm-hmm. And so we said, no, we can't let that happen. And that was before Katrina. And we just set about, my husband, my family, my son, we just set about methodically, you know, what can we do about this? What can we do to preserve this? And the only way you can prevent the gentrification, you know, if you buy it, then nobody else can tell you about it.
Let's take a pause real quick on that thought, because that's solid thinking right there. So friends, we're going to take a little break here on the No Old Drink Show. Come on now. Everybody, welcome back to the program. Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for listening in. As always this week, friends, we are here at Whiskey and Sticks on Bayou Road, chatting with Kelder, Mark, and Beverly. And during the break, we're having a very interesting conversation, y'all, talking about the concept of really of culture. And we're talking about Bayou Road. Let's talk a little bit about what Bayou Road means to the overall culture of the city. And then let's talk about maybe some of the threats to the culture itself here on Bayou Road.
So right now, and one of the reasons why we came here with Whiskey and Sticks, this is Kelder, was because we wanted to be a part of something. We didn't just want to put up a shop someplace and then be, you know, engulfed by whatever else is going on. We wanted to be a part, an integral part of what was going on. So we have restaurants, we have spas, we have Whiskey and Sticks. Mm-hmm. Now we also have other businesses along this corridor. But everything, there's a synergy to it that I think Ms. Beverly, I'm going to credit her with being very deliberate in putting that together, putting this whole pieces of the puzzle together to create this environment of empowerment for, especially for businesses that are owned and operated by, you know, people of color, women, and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So I think it's been wonderful that she's put that together. This is part of the reason why we came in. When we came in, we're like I said, the youngest of the businesses. There were some issues with zoning already existing that we couldn't operate a bar, we couldn't do these things. Yeah, you've got bars operating right down the street, you know, within the block, basically. And so we're trying to figure out we're trying to put a bar here. Why is it such a difficult thing? It's a mixed-use residential neighborhood. So anybody that's residential living in this neighborhood knows that it's mixed-use. There's commercial businesses in here. So if you've moved here, you're going to expect to be around commercial businesses. So, and then we've had a okay relationship with the neighbors, no major issues. But I understand now there's some issues coming up with our city council that is, you know, maybe causing some challenges for us as a business.
Do you want to elaborate on that, Mark?
Well, I will. And I just found out about it through social media, through Facebook, because I hadn't talked to the council person directly. And there's a petition going around right now that is threatening, because the neighborhood that they're actually targeting is minutes away from here. It's adjacent to the Fallberg, to the Bayou Road, to the Bayou Road connection. It's actually the Seven Ward that we were all talking about, Esplanade and Claiborne. There's two particular places, Kermit Ruffins, who's a world-renowned musician, and then there's another little gathering on Esplanade and Claiborne that a lot of African-Americans participate in on weekends, which is really lively and well put together. And if they go after people like that, then we're next, because we're right up the street from it. Mm-hmm. And as we speak, me and Kelly, we're putting together something for October. As soon as this weather comes down, we're going to have a Black Linen Night. Yep. And it's going to be really swanky. We intend to block off the street, music, food. You know, every neighborhood has their own, so we deserve one as well.
Sure.
And
Mark, just so we can be clear, too, so people we're talking about ordinances and things to limit noise outside, public gatherings, music, things like that, correct?
That's exactly what they're trying to kill, the actual culture of New Orleans. Everybody knows that New Orleans is, this, first of all, the birthplace of jazz. So to kill anything that has anything to do with jazz or music is insane. Everybody knows that we don't eat to live. We live to eat here in New Orleans. So everybody's nice and healthy here. We don't worry about Jim and all that. Everybody like a good plate of ribs.
Who's Jim? I don't know Jim.
Right. So if you kill the food, the outdoor dining, and the music, it's over. The culture's over.
That's it. Beverly, would you elaborate on that a little bit too? Because we were talking about before, I think when we were off the air, part of the idea here of this series that we're doing is to shed light on neighborhoods for people outside the area that maybe just know the French Quarter, maybe know Uptown a little bit. And I think it was you, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but said, you know, that's not really the culture of New Orleans in by and large in a lot of ways. So much of the culture of New Orleans comes from neighborhoods like where we are right now.
Oh, yes, most definitely. Also, we were very happy, and we're looking forward to the same thing this year. But with Essence last year, a lot of tour people come into town. Black tourists, white tourists, mm-hmm. everybody are becoming more sophisticated. So they want to go out of those French Quarter, CBD. They want to get out and mingle with, talk to, interact with the locals,
and
see, you know, get to know us. That's an area that we think we are providing here. Last year in July, a lot of people came. You know, they took the time, the trouble to get an Uber, walk, whatever, to come back here, to spend their money back here, for which our businesses were very grateful. We look forward to them coming back. And that's what we're trying to do here. Make another, culturally significant area for people to visit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what are some of the things that are actually going on to, aside from having some great businesses here like you all, Mark, and Kelder's Place, what are some of the things that you all are undertaking to try and accomplish that, Beverly, or any of y'all? Please answer that question.
Well, I mean, getting the word out for one thing.
Okay.
Then when you get here, again, as Kelder mentioned, we have a wonderful mix, a bookstore. This was all conscious. We didn't know specifically, but we have a bookstore. He was talking about the donut shop, but we have some wonderful, dynamic young women next door who do
cupcake fairies.
Right.
They're actually truly fairies.
We have a Caribbean restaurant right next door. Then Mark, Oysters on the Half Shell.
And I'd like to say everything that's on Bayou Road is actually authentic. Everybody, the Caribbean place is authentic Caribbean food.
And Caribbean music.
We have a member of the Marley family going to be performing here within the next week or so.
Yep.
But then a spa, a place where men can go. You know, I get so women can go get their nails and hair done, and we don't have any place. So on Bayou Road, men can actually get facial, earwax, cut. You know, just we can get pampered as well. But there's a mix of everybody, and it's all good and authentic because everybody on this block is actually from right around this area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think our business owners themselves, we put together, and again, this was not conscious, but I guess just good people attract other good people. We have a dynamic group of people here. I think they share the mission. We all have similar goals. We have a similar vision for the street, you know, bringing people in. But it's not just bringing them here and taking the money. It's delivering good, authentic service once they get here. And I think once they come, you know, that's it. They'll be back. Kelder and Ken they're amazing with the things that they think about. It reminds me of a place in D.C. called Busboy and Poets. They have something exciting, some program. Whatever it is, I know there's going to be something going on tomorrow. They have talent shows. They have exercise. Anything you want to have or do, you can come here, have a drink, experience.
Trivia.
Okay. Meet up with friends. You see this atmosphere like in your own home. It's great. People love to come here.
The whole block is like Cheers. Plus,
right. Absolutely.
Everybody knows everybody.
If you've been on this block in the last month, everybody knows everybody.
Right.
Here comes so-and-so. Hey, so-and-so. Everybody knows everybody.
And it's a space that we feel very comfortable in. I think people feel very comfortable in.
And you don't have to go anywhere else. You can come here. You can get a meal. You can get
a
dessert. You can get a drink. You can get prepared for your night out. I mean, you don't have to go anywhere. Just come to buy your
own.
And you can read about it. You can do cultural stuff. There's an art shop as well, a gallery. So really, there's a lot of wonderful things. It's one-stop shop, I like to say, right here on Bayou Road.
Just but it wasn't by luck.
No, it's because of this lady here.
Miss Beverly, she doesn't like it when I say it, but Miss Beverly used to come by my restaurant on Esplanade frequently. And more and more, she would ask me, what did I thought about? Because I would always complain to her about the high rent. I was paying $6,000 a month to be in a neighborhood that wasn't really acceptance of an African-American restaurant, believe it or not, because it's a Fauxburg.
Fauxburg
Esplanade.
We were talking about that during the break. Yeah. We'll elaborate on that some other time.
I was actually recruited, and I think Ms. B actually, she frequented every business that's here to make sure it was something that she wanted in her block. I don't think nobody just came here because the rent was cheap. I think everybody was picked, and I think it was very strategic that she put it's like picking a team, like the Saints picked the team.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. Yeah. Got an all-star team on by.
Oh, you have definitely an all-star team.
Well, I got to take a little break here, y'all. Let's do this. We'll come back and we're going to chat a little bit more, friends. Take a break here on the Noel Drink Show. Come on back.
Ah! Ah!
everybody. Welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Thanks for listening in, friends. We're having a great show, great chat here on Bayou Road. We're sitting at Whiskey and Sticks. And we were talking before the break, Mark, you mentioned this, that everything here on Bayou Road is authentic. And I think one of the things we're kind of getting at, right? And Kelder, I'll throw this to you first. We are talking about New Orleans, so we're talking about hospitality here, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
That's an authentic part of the puzzle.
That is definitely a part of the puzzle. And what's weird is my background, I've never owned a bar before. My husband and I were both in broadcasts prior to this, broadcasting, he in television, me in radio. But I also had a career in hospitality, worked for Starwood Corporation for what, I guess 10 years or so. And while there, I learned, I think I developed my taste for whiskeys and my taste for great customer service, you know, the whole idea of a total package. When somebody comes to Whiskey and Sticks, you have to ring the bell to get in because we wanted it to be like a little speakeasy. And so to be as authentic as we could, ring the bell, and if we like you, we'll let you in. And most of the time we like you, so come on in. And then you'll come in and you can enjoy a nice whiskey served in a nice rock glass. It's not in a plastic cup. You know, if you want to take it to go, we will frown really, really hard about it, but hey, you can take it to go. Come in and enjoy a nice whiskey. If you want to enjoy a cigar, we have to smoke outside because of city ordinances. So we have a very well-appointed patio out back so that my husband is very proud of his outdoor air conditioner. So you can go out there and sit in the outdoor air conditioning.
Even right now in summer.
And enjoy a smoke. And again, all of that is because we want it to be as welcoming and hospitable as possible here at Whiskey and Sticks.
Great. What about you, Mark? Let's talk a little bit about Half Shell on the Bayou.
Well, I'll tell you, Half Shell on the Bayou, I designed it really after my grandmother. I could remember sitting, eating at, well, when my mother worked, we'd get sent to the grandmother's house. And every day my grandmother prepared, before she went to work, something different. It started with the traditional red beans and rice, which I carry on the menu. And if we got lucky, Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, we got the gumbo. So you didn't get fish until Sunday. They were devout Catholics. Friday through Sunday was catfish, and that was all you got. You didn't get too much trout or redfish. So what I did, when I put my menu together, I thought of my family, and I thought of what people come in to eat family time. I don't have any of the fancy stuff, glazed duck, almondine, and because we didn't have any of that. My stuff is the basic New Orleans menu. Chicken, fish, gumbo, red beans. But the treat is my oysters. Mm. Everybody loves oysters. If you have never had an oyster your first time, most people think it's slimy or it's not good. But once you get one, you enjoy it for the rest of your life. So, and I buy fresh Gulf oysters. All of my stuff come in daily. For the lack of refrigeration, I have to visit my seafood house every day, 7 days a week. You can catch me. So when what you're eating today came in today, and we don't have, and I don't overbuy, so we don't have leftovers. So, and we might run out sometimes. So if you come by, just like at the house, you have to wait. But yeah, so it's very authentic. It's just like in my grandma's kitchen.
That's, you know, it's Mark. It's like my mother-in-law. I always tease her because she's always the first person at the party whenever we're eating. And she said to me about a year ago, I said, you know, Sugar is her nickname. I said, Sug, why are you always here first? And she said, because I want to make sure I get my share.
Absolutely. So come early for the half shell because it's exactly that.
And just the gumbo is yeah. It's just like your mom's.
Oh,
it's,
nice.
It's
okay.
Really good, yes.
So on the oysters, so you were talking about you get all Gulf oysters. Do you kind of get from different areas, Mark, from time to time?
Well,
different things?
The people who I deal with for my seafood, they've been in business. The family is a seafood family, American Seafood.
Okay.
It's Leon and Wayne Hess. They got the business from their dad. They used to be on Orleans Avenue, but they're now in the 7th Ward. They're still in the 7th Ward off Paris Avenue. But they go out every day. Their stuff, I don't buy anything frozen. Their stuff comes in off the dock. They send their trucks early in the morning. Sometimes I run a little late with my oysters because he'll tell me the trucks ain't came in yet. But yeah, Point Lahash, Plaquemines. Mm-hmm. I don't do the Mississippi oysters. I don't do the Texas oysters. If they don't have them, we just do without them. But they're plentiful right now. And due to this spillway thing, I'm concerned that in the upcoming months, we may have a problem. But today, as far as today, and I've been assured by my seafood purveyors that they have enough in supply to carry us throughout this year.
Okay, good. I was actually going to ask you that question.
Yeah, they don't start regrouping again until January, so we might be in a little trouble next year. But for now, They're fat and plump. You ought to come. I'll treat you somewhere after the show.
I will take you, Mark. I will take you up on that. <All right>. Beverly, you mentioned that during the break here, too, that it's a really fascinating neighborhood because you see such a cross-section of the African-American culture and population here in New Orleans, right here on this street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so many. It is a cross-section. It is a cross-section because, again, it sprung from that. Mm-hmm. So it's authentic. It's real. The people who were here 200 years ago, them or their descendants or their family members, are still here. So it is. It's representative of what I think is the best of New Orleans. Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about the museums that you have.
Oh, we're proud of our museums. My husband and I have been collecting for 40 years, and we have an art museum, an African-American art museum uptown in Carondelet, which is fascinating. You all need to visit there for sure. And then we had all the other artifacts, photographs, paintings, again, representative of free people, the story of free people of color. So because the free people of color were so dominant in this area, where we are right now, this is across the street is Upper Treme, and people had been here forever, so we thought that was a good place to bring our collection out and share it, to share it with the public, to share it with tourists, to share it with students. I love nothing better than telling the story to young people whose history, in many cases, have it's been robbed from
kind
us.
Kind of and disconnected.
Yeah, disconnected, right. So they come, and I can see them pulling back their shoulders, walking a little bit with a little bit more pride, knowing that they're forebears, their grandparents, built this area, built mm-hmm. the city, really.
Mm-hmm. Great. Let's do that. Well, we got about 2.5 minutes, y'all, 2 minutes before we have to close out the radio portion of the show. Kelder, tell people where they can find Whiskey and Sticks and come see you.
We are at 2513 Bayou Road, 70119 is the zip. And you can also find us on social media at Whiskey and Sticks on Facebook, also on Instagram as well. And we have our website, www.whiskeyandsticks.com. Spell the whole thing out.
That's perfect. We can tell you worked in radio. I can tell you worked in radio, by the way. And then, as you mentioned, just ring the bell.
Just ring the bell.
I apparently have a problem because I tried to open the door twice and I didn't read the sign that said ring the bell. I'll get it on the third try, I think, hopefully. Mark, what about you? Where do we find Half Shell on the
Bar? Well, I'm 2517 Bayou Road. I'm right next door to Whiskey and Sticks, and we're all next door to each other right here on Bayou Road between Dirgin Mall and Broad Street. So if you can get to Broad or either Dirgin Mall and just come between those two, you'll find us all. 2517 Bayou Road. Or you can catch me on social media, Instagram, Half Shell New Orleans on the Bayou.
And 7 days a week, Mark?
No. It's a funny story, but I'll tell you later. I'm closed Monday and Tuesday. We open Wednesday through Sunday. Wednesday afternoon, Thursday afternoon, Friday for lunch, Sunday afternoon, and then all day. Saturday afternoon and all day Sunday.
Perfect. Great. And Beverly, where do we find the museums? Can you tell us the addresses and all that?
Oh, certainly. The one around the corner, the Le Musée de FPC, is located at 2336 Esplanade. At the corner of Rochambeau, and then the one uptown, the McKenna Museums of African American Art, is located at 2003 Carondelet. So,
and you guys on
tour.
Facebook and Instagram with the museums
yes,
and all
yes.
that.
Oh yes, McKenna Museums. Just go to mckennamuseums.com. You'll read all about us and can make appointments, get telephone numbers, and all of that.
Oh great. Okay. And what about the Tribune? Where do people find that?
We are at 2317 Esplanade.
Okay.
Right around the corner. Our telephone number is 945-0772, or again on the internet, neworleanstribune.com.
And where can people find the publication?
Well, you can park. We are a community paper, free paper.
In all of these businesses.
In all of these businesses. Places where people frequent. Tourists, business people, city hall, restaurants, bars, all over the city.
Great. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to close out this portion of the show. These three are going to stick around for another shot with NOLA drinks. So remember, be kind to one another, use your turn signal, and until next time, cheers, y'all.
like this. I said I called your name, but no one came. Now I see you become just like the company you keep. Then he said, all these saints and all these sinners will try to bend your.
All right, everybody. Hey, thanks for sticking around for another shot with Noel Drinks. Brian Diaz here with you, as always. Hope you enjoyed that conversation we were having there with Kelder, Mark, and Beverly. We're going to bounce back over to Whiskey and Sticks in just a second and continue the conversation with Kelder and Mark. Beverly had to go take care of some things around the house. Having work done on her place, and so, you know, you got to stay on top of that stuff. But we appreciate her time coming in and chatting with us, and I certainly appreciate the hospitality and everything else that we experienced there on Bayou Road. And after that, I'll be back with my parting shot. Here we go. Another shot with Noel Drinks. We're here at Whiskey and Sticks on Bayou Road, friends. And Beverly was nice enough to make some time for us, so she had to scoot because I think she's got people working at her house right now.
Yeah.
And you got to be on top of that stuff. We all know that. But I'm here with Kelder Summers and Mark Laws. And well, let's talk. We touched on this. You guys got an event coming up, Black Linen Night.
Mm-hmm.
What's the date on that?
So it's the Saturday before before Halloween, October 24th, I believe, is the date. And we're trying to do our take on White Linen Night. So Black Linen Night, we want to just highlight not just the businesses here, but just the culture of this area here. We'll have live entertainment, some crafts, arts and crafts, other food vendors. But, you know, we'll be the anchors to the actual festival.
There'll be, like, music out in the street
yes,
and stuff?
Yes, yeah, definitely, definitely. It's just something that we think we should do to bring more folks into this area, just to expose more people to what's going on Bayou Road.
You know, you can never have too many festivals in New Orleans.
You know, Mark, we just did a show about 2 months ago, a month and a half ago, on festival culture and festival economy, and I think we're at 140 official festivals in the city.
And it's more like a stroll, you know, not so much a festival, but a stroll. We want you to come and stroll up and down and, you know, enjoy the block, enjoy the music, enjoy the culture that is Bayou Road.
And I appreciate that you're doing it in October because it makes it a lot
great
easier
weather.
To stroll.
Mm-hmm. Great weather.
You don't have to worry about rain.
Yeah.
Hopefully not, yeah.
And the cool thing is, again, bringing more people to this area. And I don't know if you know this, but right down the street is the Uber headquarters, right?
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's amazing. I tell Mark all the time, anytime somebody pulls up and they come, you know, they're in an Uber and they come to Whiskey and Sticks, I'm always like, oh my gosh, they're coming to Whiskey and Sticks. You know, because I just think it's so wonderful that folks are traveling outside of the downtown area and coming down and just coming to our little spot. I just feel honored every time.
That's great.
Well I'd like to say this about this particular area. One thing we haven't had a lot of, and it's very important, this is a very, very safe neighborhood. For whatever reason is, I don't know if they know that I'm retired and there's a lot of law enforcement on the block, but this is a very safe, we haven't had any incidents. It's just a real safe neighborhood. So you can come here and we sit out just like on your porch. I don't know if you ever heard of on your porch in New Orleans, but it's just like if you come here as soon as that sun go down, I want to say about 7:30, it'll be just like on your porch out front, and it's very safe.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
And very folks walking safe. Up and down the boulevard.
Yeah, well, and we forgot to mention that there is a theater on our block, Southern Repertoire
yes.
Theater.
Yeah.
And they bring a lot of people from all over, a lot of the uptowners, a lot of the snooties. But
Mark.
Oh yeah. Yeah, but no, after a while the students get regular.
They come in to the place. They're like, "Oh, let's grab a bite before or let's grab a cocktail after." And it's just wonderful to see the diversity that they're bringing to this neighborhood.
Oh, they absolutely. They bring and I'm always down there and I always thank them because they bring a set of people that we don't have to advertise to.
Yeah.
That actually good people. They spend money.
Yes, right. That's right.
There you go.
And then
got to be in business, right?
I mean, our neighbors, too. The neighborhood around here They've been wonderful. I can honestly say they are also not just neighbors, but they've been customers.
Residential neighbors.
Yes,
okay,
residential neighbors. Uh-huh, exactly.
What are some of the things that that the population of New Orleans or visitors should know, and what can the populace do to support the neighborhood? And what can this is a two-part question. What can the city do to support the neighborhood? Feel free to pick whichever one you want first.
Well, let me tell you this. Now, we're lucky that our mayor is outgoing, because on any good weekend, you can see the mayor and her entourage. They'll be here.
Right here on my watch.
They'll come right in and have a drink, and you and she'll mix right in. You'll never know. It's not about a bodyguard and all that. She'll come in, and if you don't know her, you'll be sitting right next to her and having a good time. But the other part, you're gonna get a whole lot of local people here. But the biggest thing I noticed, I say, where are you from? I'll ask my customers. They say, well, I live right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
I say, wow, that's good. They say, how long you been here? I said, I've been here a couple of years, and they're just now coming out. Because let me just tell you something. People want to do their research, and they're not going to just – they know what's going on in the French Quarter. When you go to the French Quarter, you know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
So because we're new, they're coming slowly but surely, but the word is getting around that it's a safe place, it's a clean place. And I'm telling you, in the last 2 weeks, I thought I had a house full of tourists, and I had a family coming. I said, where y'all from? They looked like they were maybe from New York or somewhere. They said, we're from Esplanade and Governor Nichols. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. And I just think the city can continue to do what they have been doing, which is, you know, the CVB and Multicultural Tourism Network. Those guys have been supporting us. They've held meetings and events here at our locations. And they continue to help get the word out that Bayou Road is definitely a destination. And, you know, we're not trying to take business or anything away from anybody else. We're just trying to augment your New Orleans experience. And you want to get a taste of local, you definitely need to come down to Bayou Road.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And last but not least, I'd like to send a shout out to Mark Romick, because I tell you what,
hey,
he's brought a lot of attention to the Bayou Road. He did an event
here. New Orleans Tourism Marketing Corporation.
Absolutely. He did a thing called the Caramel Curves here, which was unexpected tour guides. And it really helped my business. I get people come in from all over the world and say they saw me on Caramel Curves.
That's the coolest motorcycle gang in the world.
Right.
Cool?
Oh, wasn't
they
cool? They are. So, yeah, Mark Romick and his gang. You mentioned the other guy.
Jeremy Cooker.
Cooker, when he brings his crew, that's the crew. They're really good people, and they really do their job as far as getting the word out on New Orleans culture.
That's great. Well, Mark, tell people one more time, where can they find you at Half Show?
I'm open 5 days a week, but if I'm not there, it's not open. 2517 Bayou Road, right next to Kelder Summers Whiskey and Steaks, right next door to Cocoa Hut. Material Life is one we didn't really talk about, but it's a really, really nice place. They have a lot of authentic. And matter of fact, I see a lot of stuff in here.
Yep.
Material Life, she has collectibles, a lot of African American collectibles, and we also have. Right next door to the Cupcake Fairies, and right next door to Eagles Mail Spa.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
So we're all the same block.
Mm-hmm. And we're 2513 Bayou Road. We are open Tuesday through Saturday during the football seasons. We open for away games. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because most of our members, we offer memberships. Most of those members are at the games, so we only have it for away games. And also, we do special events here as well. We do cigar rolling classes. We're available for private parties. We do line dancing. So you never know what you're going to find at Whiskey and Sticks. You can find us on the website at www.whiskeyandsticks.com, and we're also on Facebook and social media.
Awesome. Kelder, thank you so much for hosting us today.
Thank you.
Been a pleasure. Mark, thank you for joining
us
today. I appreciate
it.
And I'm going to go avail myself of things like Oysters on the Half Shell and an old-fashioned, I think, too. Probably something like that. So, friends, we're going to take a brief musical interlude. I'll be back with my parting shot. All right, everybody. Hey, thanks for listening into the show this week. I really appreciate it, friends. As I mentioned, next week we'll be continuing on with our French Quarter Fest series, in this case celebrating Sachmo Summerfest 2019, coming up August 2nd through the 4th at the New Orleans Jazz Museum. We'll be chatting with Tanya Boyd Cannon, a spectacular singer, as well as Lamar Hurd, who is the leader of the Big Six Brass Band. And he actually used to play in the Stooges Brass Band, too. We taped that show just the other day. Really a lot of fun.
over there at Louisiana Music Factory. So thanks to those guys, 421 Frenchman Street. Go check them out. Best record store in the world. And, of course, our friends at French Quarter Festivals Incorporated, with whom we've partnered to do this series. I think we'll probably have one more show that will air the week of the festival there at the very end of July, teeing that one up. And also we'll be getting at that point into our Tales of the Cocktail coverage. More to come on that front soon. Friends, wanted to thank again the hospitality and the time and everything else that Mark Kelder and Beverly provided us. Had a chance after we taped the show to hang out a little bit. Had a great old-fashioned there at Whiskey and Sticks. And Mark walked us down a couple doors, I should say up a couple doors from Whiskey and Sticks, where his place is, Half Shell on the Bayou, and treated us to some awesome seafood gumbo and awesome oysters, and got a tour of the place. Cool little area out back to sit. They do music, have all kinds of stuff going on, so be sure to check them out. Click on the links in our show notes, and we'll tell you exactly where everything is. But everything's really kind of tightly clustered on that nice little block right there, which is really neat, and it kind of brings us really to our parting shot here. And, you know, friends, oftentimes when folks come and visit here in New Orleans, visit me and my wife Sylvia for the first time, and as I've gotten older, this has changed a little bit, but, you know, it's still common somewhat when people come and visit and they want to go check out Bourbon Street. Now, I used to sort of dissuade people from doing that, and I'm not knocking Bourbon Street, but, you know, I think those of us who know that, you know, that's really not the main part of Bourbon Street there in the French Quarter is really not New Orleans, right? I'm just going to kind of leave it at that. It's very touristy, a lot of plastic drinks and things like that. And as I said, I used to sort of dissuade people from that. And then now I just kind of, I don't do that anymore. I say, okay, let's go. And so then we go to Bourbon Street and we hang out for 15 or 20 minutes. And I go, you see, get it now? Are we good? Got that out of your system? Yeah. And that usually works pretty well. And what's my point here? Well, really, there's a lot of other neighborhoods and a lot of other things to see here in New Orleans, and a lot of places that even, you know, us locals don't know about. I had actually never been to that little corridor on Bayou Road where we taped the show before. And I'll get to that in a second. You know, we really do kind of live, for those of us that live here, in the ultimate staycation spot. Now, this will sound like a bit of a stretch as an analogy, but a long time ago, I used to do coral reef work, and I did that for about 10 years, working for small nonprofits, mostly international stuff in the developing world. And one of the places that I was very privileged to go and work from time to time was in Papua New Guinea, there north of Australia, one of the most, arguably the most culturally diverse country in the world. To put a couple numbers on it for you, about 5 million people and 800 languages. Let that sink in. 5 million people and 800 languages. Quite literally, you would go a few kilometers one direction on the road or the other from one village to another, and it was a different language being spoken. As a matter of fact, a lot of people who only had an elementary school education spoke 3, 4, 5 languages, because they might speak their village language, their mom's village language, you know, maybe dad's village language. They'd speak Pidgin English, they'd speak English. It was really, really quite remarkable. But the point is that there was a radical, incredible diversity of culture within spitting distance of each other as you move from point to point. Now, I'm not saying that New Orleans is quite at that level, but in a way, it's kind of true. And I think the analogy here holds in that we don't have to go all that far to experience new things just a few blocks away. As I said, I had not been to Bayou Road before. What an interesting and vibrant place with a lot of great people doing a lot of great things. And by exploring some of these places and going to check out things, as we're doing kind of with this series, as I mentioned at the top of the show, exploring neighborhoods, as I joke, not called the French Quarter, it's a great way for those of us that live here to interact with our neighbors. For those of you that don't live here and like to visit here or are visiting here, it's a great way to go see other parts of the city that maybe you don't think about or don't even know about that you should go see. There is so much to see. There is so much to explore and so many great people to meet. One of the points that we also made during the show, which I think is really important, is so many of these neighborhoods, frankly, are the sources of culture that we celebrate here in the city as part of the culture that we all know and love. And we also market it. That's how we market to tourists that come here and visit. We're selling the culture of New Orleans, and the lifeblood, the sources of a lot of that are from these neighborhoods. Now, I think we might have been a little bit harsh during the show, kind of saying, you know, everything kind of feeds in. Like if you're in the French Quarter, the culture you're seeing there is feeding in from everywhere else, and there is no culture in the French Quarter. That's not true. We know that. A lot of my friends that are quarter rats, as they call themselves, who grew up in the quarter and things like that, would argue, and I would argue as well, there's plenty of culture in the French Quarter. But that is not the only place. It doesn't necessarily, a lot of it does not emanate from the French Quarter. In fact, most of it, or a lot of it, comes in from these outside neighborhoods. It's where the music is really born and where most of the musicians come from. Those who work in the service industry, so much of the cuisine, blah, 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 we go on and on, comes from these other neighborhoods. The cool thing here, friends, as I was just touching on, is many of these places are just 5 minutes apart, maybe 10 minutes apart. A lot of these places you can walk. You can go stroll for an hour in New Orleans and walk through 3, 4, 5, 6 different, very different places. Unique places. Now, I know we're all kind of creatures of habit. I know I am. We like to go to our favorite spots and do what we do. But there is so much to see and so much to explore in New Orleans. It doesn't take much effort to branch out and see something different and experience something different. Now, speaking to those of you who are coming to visit, perhaps you're even coming to visit for Tales of the Cocktail here in a couple weeks. And I'm using Tales, you know, a lot of you listening out there don't, it's not your thing and you're not doing stuff, not participating in Tales. But I use it as an example because Tales happens, and it happens in the French Quarter. This year it's taking place just at the Royal Sonesta Hotel. And there's so much activity tightly clustered in a small area, you may not even leave those handful of blocks around the Sonesta. I do see, as Tales continues and people are expanding, visitors are going to other neighborhoods and seeing things. But I want to encourage you, if you're coming for Tales, if you're coming to visit New Orleans, especially if you've been here before, go check out some of these unique, interesting spots that truly give you the real flavor of the city, a true view of the culture of the city. And that's probably why you're coming here to see us, right? If you're a resident here, it's a great way to support the city. You need to get out. We all need to get out and support our neighbors and the neighborhoods that fuel our city, like I'm talking about, economically and culturally. That's what we can do, especially in the slow summer months, is get out and check out some of these neighborhoods and support some of these local businesses, these local establishments that really matter to what the city of New Orleans is, what its fabric is. And the fabric here, friends, is rich. And as I said, the cool part is you don't have to go far to experience something different. Friends, that's our parting shot. Here's to you.
It don't matter what you say.